Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport, the record book.
Yeah, welcome everybody to this week's edition of the Game Day Record Book podcast. Increasing numbers of you listening all the time. We're very delighted about that. I'm Danny Kelly, and each week I have two guests with me as we, as soon as the steam has stopped rising from the weekend's Premier League action, and we get stuck into who's done well, who's done badly. Of course, it goes off on all kinds of tributaries away from that. It's not the standard punditry. And at the end of the season, I'll be producing an actual physical book of the results of our discussions. Photographs, drawings by me, and some musings as well done in crayon, and it should be an absolutely brilliant thing to help me get through all of that during the next 40 minutes. And again, thank you all for listening and joining us. I'm just say making a welcome return comedian and Derby fan Mark Smith. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Danny. Thanks for having me back again.
After your performance last time, where despite public opprobrium, I've said no, bring Mark back, give him a chance to redeem himself.
Thank you for that.
And I'm delighted to say, and as someone who supports both Tottenham and the Republic of Ireland, I'm really delighted to say cliche wand of a left foot does not do it. Fantastic footballer in his time, these days making his way through the coaching ranks following his recent retirement after about 140 operations on injury that wouldn't clear up for him. Delighted to say we're joined by the former Nottingham Forest, Spurs and Republic of Ireland midfielder Andy Reid. Hi Andy.
Hello, how are you?
Very good indeed. How are you doing?
I'm very well, not a bother at all.
Adjusting to being retired now? I know you found it hard at first.
Yeah, most certainly I did. I found it really difficult for the first year or so. I had a lot going on, a lot to get my head around. And the coaching has just been the tonic I needed. It's been great. I've started to really get the buzz for it, and it is like a buzz that you get, you know. And I'm loving it.
Okay, listen, I'm genuinely delighted to be working with you. So hopefully, we'll make Mark bow to our will in all of these categories. Mark will be this week's whipping boy, but of course he's big enough to look after himself.
Leicester are a very good team. They don't need gifts like that, but when they happen, they're going to try and exploit it. That's what they've done. Newcastle remain in the bottom three. Leicester are up to position three in the Premier League. It's finished at King Power Stadium. Leicester City 5, Newcastle 0.
Eriksen crossed the ball. There was Kane. His first touch maybe wasn't the best, but he volleyed it right in the bottom corner. His 8th goal in 6 appearances against Southampton. He just loved playing against the Saints.
We're going for a tough spell. We're still we play, we put everything out on the pitch, and I think we deserved the victory. It's never easy playing with 10 men, so to score again after they equalised was great, and then to see out the whole of the second half was, it's what a good win feels like.
I want to start with our performance of the week, and Mark, I'm very interested in your choice, because if I say of the week, the club you're about to talk about, quite apart from being Nottingham Forest's arch enemies. Go on, tell us who you've chosen.
I'm going for Derby County, Danny, Andy, and I don't care who knows it. I don't care. I'm going for them.
He has no shame.
Just to remind those people who don't own the internet and newspaper, the week didn't start great for Derby.
Did it not?
No.
No, I've no idea. I'm talking about Saturday.
Okay, well, I'll do it for you then. For some reason, Derby County's players were having a early season bonding session, I suppose you'd call it.
A club-sanctioned team meal.
Sure.
Yes.
At 8 o'clock, they were all supposed to go home, and most of them did. Needless to say, the ones that didn't were the senior pros. Remind us who was involved.
Club captain Richard Keogh.
Yes.
Mason Bennett, who is a younger player, yes. So fine. And Tom Lawrence.
Yes.
I think Tom Huddleston also stayed behind, the newly appointed team captain. Yes. Is that right?
Well, there were a few more in the pub, yes, but not that were involved in the incident that followed.
Drinking ensued. Now, we mustn't get too funny about this because the people were hurt in the end. I think one of the players was photographed puking into a urinal by his new team captain, Tom Huddleston. The club sent them around taxis to say, honestly, it's time to go home. They refused those. And in the end, three of them were involved in a drunk driving incident. And one of them, Richard Keogh,
club captain, that's out for at least the rest of this season.
And at 33, that might be his lot.
I mean, and for his international career with Ireland as well. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're not going to get funny about this.
No.
Because it's not too over the top to say we could have woken up on Wednesday to news of, you know, footballers, you know, not making it through or killing someone else, you know.
We were led to believe, Andy, that we'll come back to why the performance of the week, that this sort of stuff, Arsene Wenger had cleansed the temple of this sort of stuff, and that footballers no longer felt the need to get themselves smashed, no pun intended, just for bonding purposes.
Yeah, well, listen, if it's not that, this would be in something. I'm not saying the drink driving thing, but this kind of team bonding thing 20 years ago would have been commonplace. You would have seen it every couple of weeks.
Yeah,
at most clubs. So
Arsenal every couple of days.
So, well, there you go. So so things have changed a hell of a lot. It's a very serious thing, and when you talk about the ramifications it's got for players, with the Republic of Ireland hat on. Richard Keogh was at the heart of defence with Shane Duffy. The two of them have been excellent for the Republic of Ireland over the last...
Should make the point that you these days are coaching one of Ireland's age group teams.
Yeah, I coached the under-18s, yeah. So I've watched them closely and they've been doing very well. And they're in the middle of a qualifying campaign and they've got a really good chance of qualifying for the Euros. So it's got terrible ramifications for him in particular because he's the one who's going to be out for a year.
Sorry, you've just reminded me now. Looking at your face and saying and hearing the phrase teenage Irish players, I mean, the young people listening to our voices won't believe this. You were part of a Republic of Ireland team that won the European Championship.
Yeah, we won the under-16 European Championships. Yeah,
how many years?
I'm surprised you remember that.
Well, I've got a few years on you, Andy. To be fair,
that was 20. It's 21 years ago. We had a reunion last year, actually, on the 20th year. Brian Kerr was the manager. He organised a reunion. We were invited to the sports writers' dinner. And we had a team bonding session after. Nobody drove, though.
No.
That's the key.
And none of you are professional athletes at the present moment, or at least very few of you still.
Yeah, I don't think any of
us. Why did Derby deserve, then, after this cataclysmic start to the week, to be performance of the week?
Well, because it's been such a terrible, embarrassing week for everyone connected with the club. We needed something good, something positive to come out at the end of this week. We've had a tough start to the season as it is. We've come to Pride Park at home to Birmingham on Saturday. Everyone's hanging their heads in shame. People are disappointed. Players have been dropped from the squad. Keogh's out for the rest of the season, maybe longer. We go 2-0 up against Birmingham. Great, lovely. They then claw it back to 2-2. They then get a penalty where Birmingham could go 3-2 up. And you think, well, this is it. Because if we lose this game, what does that do to the mindset of that team? That could crumble. Immediately, that could be it for the season. And instead, Keller Roos, young goalkeeper, saves a penalty. We go on. Jamie Patterson wins the game for us. And I think there was a crucial moment there, a real pivotal moment in the season in that last 10 minutes where it could have gone either way. Now, I'm not saying we'd go and finish the season with 20 wins in a row. That won't happen. But it could have gone the other way very, very quickly. So I think for that reason, given the context of the week, Derby County, without a doubt, hands down, performance of the week.
We do a Nottingham Forest hat on, Andy. Does it really matter where Derby performance will be? Are they one of those teams now trapped forever in the Championship? Mind you, so are Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, can we brush over that question? can I just go back to a quick point that you made about Jamie Patterson? I was delighted for him. I normally take a little bit of pleasure out of seeing Derby lose, but I was delighted for Pato. I played with Jamie. He's a great lad. He can be hard work at times, but he's a great lad. I seen him at Derby's academy there a few weeks ago, and he was a little bit disappointed that he hadn't played too much for us. So to see him get the winner, I was delighted for that. Other than that, can take it or leave it.
Now, you want to move a little bit further down the motorway. Is it the M42? Which is the motorway?
Where are we going?
We're going to Leicester next.
Go M1.
Oh, straight on the M1, yeah. Because you were working today on the team that you want to have as the performance of the week, Leicester City.
Yeah, listen, they were fantastic. I'm a massive fan of Brendan Rodgers. I have been for quite a while. I was on a block of my pro licence last week and Damien Duff was on about it and the discussion came up when we were talking about Brendan Rodgers, who we walked with my Celtic. and he loves how he operates tactically. He's so astute, he's so aware, really passionate about the game, and tries to play the game the right way. He tries to play it in a way that's easy on the eye. So it's not a surprise to see Leicester doing so well. The passing's fantastic, the movement, the commitment, the tackling. They put their bodies on the line when they need to. They work hard. They've got all the attributes, I think, to that's given them a great base to really go on and challenge.
But I'd be amazed, Andy, if in the worst performances of the week, their opponents, they Newcastle United, did not feature very, very heavily. They're up against nothing today.
Yeah, but you've still got to do your own job. You have to. You've still got to do things properly. You have to. And the start in the game is very, very important. You start with a good intensity. You do what you do. I can't defend Newcastle's performance in any way, shape, or form. They were.
You may be required to a little later on, but I mean, Liverpool's two fullbacks are clearly the best in the league. But after that, there's an argument. Chilwell and Pereira are the next best pair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again today, going forward, they are spectacular. I mean, I don't think they're probably as good defensively, but Pereira's goal today was brilliant, and that broke the deadlock.
But hold on, Bus. Yeah. What I don't understand is we see clubs saying, oh, we haven't got the money for this, and you hear clubs saying, we can't afford this player and that player. Leicester City gave three paltry £3 million
for Johnny Evans,
full well that they would get at least two brilliant seasons out of him. You know, I don't understand. Leicester's recruitment is great because they're happy to pay a load of money for Youri Tielemans, and we know that will be a bargain in the long run. But also, they went out and got him for next to nothing, in the same way as they got Mahrez a few years ago for absolutely nothing.
But is that not just indicative of how well-run a club is? And like you say, recruitment, how well stocked are they in the areas of the club which deal with recruitment and scouting?
And that's where I think the game we saw at the King Power at the weekend, Leicester City murdered Newcastle United on the pitch because for the last 10 years they've been murdering them off the pitch. It's recruitment, coaching, managers, absolutely. All the rest of it.
You're exactly right. Can I just wind you back a little bit to the fullbacks and just talk something just a little bit more tactical? In a possession-based team, which Leicester City are now under Brendan Rodgers, the fullbacks are massively important to create overload. So you need them fullbacks as good attacking options going forward, and that's why they're so good. They're absolutely brilliant. They give them such good width and balance going forward, and the goal that Pereira scored earlier on was absolutely fantastic.
Okay, well, thank you both for those. I'm going to be very, very partisan, almost chauvinistic now when I say that for me, and it's rare I do this, the performance of the week, I want to put a tiny word in for Spurs.
Every time I'm on this show, single time it's so pro-Spurs, Danny.
Oh, yeah, but that's Andy and I understand what a great club is, even if you
come
don't.
Come on, boys.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not having it.
And it's going to make it worse now. I've never liked Derby County. And it goes back to a League Cup tie when I was a teenager, before you were born. I think it was a replay. Spurs had got a draw against a pretty good Derby team back in the day. And in the replay at White Hart Lane, I can't remember how many Spurs got, but I know Derby got 5. Was he called Roger Davis, their centre forward? A big old lanky useless.
This is like 1902.
Streak.
What are you talking about?
No, that's right. It wasn't even in black and white. It was they had to engrave the fixture.
Was it Dave McCoy that Brian Clough went down and signed from Spurs?
Yes, to complete Derby's great title-winning team. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. So that's another reason, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, Dave had done his bit for Spurs, and who knew? Only Brian Clough, of course, the greatest manager God ever put shoe leather on, knew that Dave McKay still had one more title in him. Now, the point I was making about Spurs is that they've had a dreadful start to the season. Something clearly has gone wrong with it. I think it was best illustrated by the game where they, you know, the previous league game, the manager had to pick 6 players who he thought were on their way out during the summer. But for them to get themselves into that tangle that they did against Southampton, and to find a way, having conceded that ridiculous goal and playing for an hour with 10 men, Spurs are supposed, this season Spurs are supposed to lack backbone, and I thought they showed plenty of backbone there. Led, and I don't understand why he's not captain of the team, there must be good reasons why Hugo Lloris is, by Harry Kane just staring at the other players when it was 1-1, saying, we're not doing this again. And it was very interesting to me that after they got the first goal from Tanguy Ndombele, and all the players were doing that, taking the mickey out of VAR, the one player who wasn't doing it, was already back on the centre circle, was Kane, for whom the next 10 minutes and another goal is more important than making a point about VAR. So those are our three performances of the week. Derby County rising from the shambles of their social event during the week. Spurs proving they still have something to offer their fans. And Leicester City, just shooting fish in a barrel against Newcastle United. Andy, because you're new to the show, and I guess I'll let you go first. Have you changed your mind, or are you still sticking with Leicester?
Yeah, I'm still sticking with Leicester. I thought they were great. I'm sticking with guns. I'm a stubborn Irish man. Yeah, I'm not going to be convinced. Okay?
I don't like a Forest man being a Leicester supporter here either, by the way. If you're going to be so anti-Derby, you can't be that pro-Leicester.
Very quickly, football's the winner.
Help me how this works. I went to university in Leicester, so I saw a lot of their team. They had a brilliant team in the 70s, Frankie Worthington, all that stuff. How does it work, Leicester, Derby, Forest? How does what's the lasagna of hatred? How does that work?
I think the biggest rivalry is Forest Derby.
Because of Brian Clough and the proximity of the clubs.
Yeah, the proximity, yeah.
Leicester just hang on to the coattails, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, just waving their recent league title in your general direction.
Well, put it this way.
That was a little slow.
I didn't mind Leicester winning the league. And
really?
And if it had been Forest, I would have not turned up to work for the next 10 years.
Okay. Well, you're going to stick with Derby, aren't you?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. I think the Spurs argument is good, but it's all the same ingredients as the Derby argument, except we've got some awful social stuff as well in the context.
Well, so you think we should be rewarding drunk drivers by giving them performance of the week?
I think it should be rewarding.
If I jump on with you and say Spurs, then that means we win. Okay. Well, why didn't you tell me that? Spurs, obviously.
So Spurs it is. Performance of the week, Tottenham Hotspur.
The record book.
Can't accept it, not good enough. Nowhere near up for the challenge. And as I said, we were so passive. We can't accept it from each other. And that's exactly what I've just said to them.
A cross is headed towards goal. Comes back to Wijnaldum. Goalkeeper's made an absolute error. It's in. It's stuck between his legs. And Dean Henderson has a bright red face of embarrassment.
I crack up when, you know, ex-players say, well, you shouldn't chuck your players under the bus. Well, it's difficult to hide when you're playing worldwide football in the Premier League that your goalkeeper should make a save. And Leon Clark should score, John Fletcher should score, John Lundstrom should score. And we've had another couple of opportunities.
After the brilliant discovery that Spurs were the performance of the week, let's get on to our worst performance of the week. I'll start this one, I think, because it's not teams for me. It's the whole business of goalkeeping. And I know some of them is partially not their fault. They've been told to play out from the back. Jordan Pickford made an absolute horlicks of a free kick that he should have saved England's goalkeeper. His nearest rival, Jack Butland, from a couple of years ago, also having a terrible time in the goal. Dean Henderson, I'm told, is going to be the next England goalkeeper off the block, gives away that terrible goal against Liverpool after his Sheffield United teammates had put a mountain of work into keeping the mighty, mighty Liverpool, and they are mighty at the moment, at bay. And Hugo Lloris, who we spoke a little bit about earlier on, performance of the week, comes out and does what he did in the World Cup final, but he does it against Southampton. For me, the worst part of all this is the managers having to come out and obviously in Dean Henderson's case, Chris Wilder having none of it, saying, that's rubbish, you won't ever be a Manchester United player if you carry on like that. Jordan Pickford, everyone just looked the other way and pretended it didn't happen. But for Pochettino to come out and say, see, the thing is, I take responsibility, I take the blame, I've told him to play like that. Hold the bus. Beep, 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 beep. Reverse out of that. Beep, beep, beep. You told him to do a Cruyff turn on his own goal line? Really? Is that what you told him to do? And I know you've got coaching badges. You're going to tell me all about playing out from the back in a second, Reed. But the fact of the matter is, for a start, I saw Johan Cruyff play.
Yep.
I saw him do a Cruyff turn for Feyenoord against Spurs in a European game a million years ago. The mechanics of it involved the ball moving.
Just like Lloris, the perfect Cruyff turn, as far as I can see.
Except he doesn't move the ball at all. And Danny Ings, I mean, talk about the lottery. That's twice in a week now. Goalkeepers have handed him goals like that. Andy, I don't get it. I understand that you could now produce to me some kind of, it'd be an online presentation to prove that playing out from the back means you're 94.7% more likely to win the game than hoofing it and all the rest of it. But you can't have people doing that sort of stuff in their own six-yard box.
Danny, I have the presentation on my laptop. If I'd known you wanted to see it, I'd have brought it with me.
Everyone's convinced of it now, aren't they?
No, listen, I'm a fan of playing out from the back, OK, but I'm not a fan of goalkeepers, so I'll kind of roll with you on this one, OK?
I mean, it's not just Loris. It's just a very bad weekend for goalkeepers. And so if I had to pick a worse performance, I would say people who are part of the team but have an individual job to do and getting paid, these days, getting paid as much as outfield players. No excuse for the mistakes we saw this weekend. I know the ball spins around and all the rest of it. I'm going with goalkeepers. And, of course, it's almost as if they were in touch with whatever spirits inform the earth, because it is this weekend is the 20th anniversary of Massimo Taibbi, Manchester United's goalkeeper, briefly, letting the ball go between first his hands, then his legs, then under even... He couldn't even stop it with his manhood. It still managed to get across the line. Now, there are three ways you can deal with goalkeeping errors. You can do a Chris Wilder and throw him under the bus. You can do a Pochettino and stroke the top of their head and say, it's my fault. Or you can do a Sir Alex Ferguson and never pick them again to wear that jersey.
Get him on the flight. Get him out of here.
Literally. If he could have shot him out of a giant cannon, he would have done. Who's your worst performance of the week, Mark?
Well, can I ask before we do this?
Sure.
Andy, what did you prefer? What did you react best to as a player? Which of those three options would you have taken?
I would have been a very, in case you've had notice, I'd have been a very stubborn kind of player. So if a manager came in and had a go at me for something, then I would have gone out there and thought, well, I'm going to show you. So I responded and kind of liked the manager kind of digging me out a little bit, because I felt I could deal with that. Now, not everybody's like that, and them type of players are getting less and less in the game now, players that are able to deal with that. So you've got to judge the character. What type of character is he? Because the ultimate aim is to get the best out of them. You know, let's be honest, it is.
In your long and distinguished career, which manager do you have the best relationship with?
I would say probably Paul Hart at Forest, and maybe Brian Kerr with Ireland, because I worked with both of them from a young age, kind of all the way through. Paul Hart, I had him in the Forest Academy and then in the Forest team as well, and the same with Brian. I had him at underage Ireland and then with the senior team as well. So I think they probably understood what I was all about and what buttons to press to kind of get the best out of me.
Which manager do you have the worst relationship with?
That
doesn't matter. Well, you can say what you like.
No, well, listen, me and Steve Cottrell never really seen eye to eye.
Why? I'll make a wild guess. You were trying to play with the ball.
if we've got time for just a quick story. When he came to Forest from Portsmouth, we hadn't got the strongest side at the time, and we played a game. I can't remember where it was. We played a game about four games after he came in, and we were terrible. We lost 3-0 or something like that. He came in and he went, I don't know why I've left Portsmouth to come here to you lot. So we were like, well, I don't know why he came either.
I mean, is it true that we always get told, those of us who are seeking the secrets of the inner sanctum of the dressing room, that when the new manager comes, they've got about, with professional footballers, probably 3 minutes to make an impression, and you make your mind up after 3 minutes?
Listen, it's the same with anything. If you meet somebody walking down the street and you stop and have a conversation with them, or somebody introduces you to somebody, you're forming an opinion of them straight away.
It's like stand-up. You give about 5 seconds and you know if you like them or not.
Have you got a killer first joke that you always use?
No, I'm out after 5 seconds. Turn up, see them, get out.
Boo, boo, yeah. Who are you going to choose for your worst performance of the week, Andy?
I've gone with Newcastle.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, well, I think...
Because you saw the game, yeah.
Well, yeah, I did. I watched the game, and I'd be surprised if you're not going for Newcastle as well.
Yeah.
Listen, they were awful right from start to finish. The thing that worries me most about this team is that I just look and I see, apart from Jamal Lascelles, I'm not too sure where the leaders are. There's a few crawled into the shell today. There wasn't any fight in it. I mean, there was one point where indeed he just kind of bustled through four players on the edge of the box and played a 1-2. And I'm thinking to myself,
but they were losing headers in their own box where they got, you know, I always think about this. If you're an attacking player, the header has to go quite directly. You've only got about 15 degrees to direct it. You're a defending player, you've just got to get a nut to it.
You can go anywhere.
But they were being muscled out of it. And you're right, Lascelles kept going. And after the game, I thought it was really an extraordinary moment, because managers of KJ, another player, Andy Carroll, was put up here on Talk Sport and was put up for the interview and said, we gave up. Wow.
But what else could he say? You can't, that the performance today, there's no way of defending it. Like, you know, he come out and there's nothing else. What, you can't come out and say, oh, well, listen, we had a bit of an off day and it didn't quite go for us and, we're sorry about that. We'll put it right next. They've been absolutely awful from start to finish in every single department of the game. So for somebody to come out and try and defend it in some way, everybody would have just been looking, going, that's a lie.
I presume he's had the manager's permission to go out and give them both barrels.
He must have done, right? Otherwise... Yeah. Yeah, he would have serious trouble. I'd imagine.
Yeah, you would have thought so. But listen, the manager as well. He's been around the game. He knows. He'll have dug the players out. Guaranteed, he'll have dug the players out. I played under him. I know. He'll have told them in no uncertain terms, this is not acceptable.
The trouble is, 7 games in, and already having to have kind of digging the players out, bringing them in for extra training, whatever they decide to do. I mean, you only lose the 3 points no matter how badly you get beat. But it's not a good thing for Newcastle. I was amazed when I got up at the Sunday morning to see they were already, before this defeat, they were already the favourites to go down. Newcastle United. Who's your worst performance of the week? I want to move on from Newcastle because they're making the studio smell.
Yeah, it does smell a bit in here. I'm going for Norwich City, which might sound a bit odd. I'm going for them because they
lost...
It
does sound a bit odd. Boo, boo!
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm gigging again. It's horrible. They lost 2-0 away at Crystal Palace. They lost 2-0 away at Burnley last week. And this, both results came after the Man City... wonderful performance where they went and beat the champions. And I just think we've had a situation here where Norwich have just given everything. They've emptied the tank against Man City and they just haven't been able to keep that up. And I worry, if you're a Norwich City fan, is it going to be one of those seasons where they raise their game for the big televised Sky TV games on a Saturday night in floodlights and then just go to pieces in these what look like more standard opponents?
It's interesting because I actually believe that, it's just they're going to not get many results away from home. Right. They're going to have to win their games at home. And I never understand it, Andy, anymore, because all the stadiums are the same square boxes now. The pitches are almost identical sizes. The actual grass is identical as well. When you started out playing, and it wasn't a million years ago, you had a different experience at every ground you went to, but they're all pretty much the same now. Why is home advantage still such a big thing?
Well, it's mentality. 100% it's mentality, because it's exactly the same once you cross the white line. So you've got to block out all the outside influences. You've got to be able to control what you can control and leave what you can't, because you just waste energy on that. So it's a mentality thing. If you've got a good mentality, you take, say, all the top teams, it doesn't matter to them. They play the same. Man City now, Liverpool, they play the same at home as they do away. They start the game in exactly the same manner. The fullbacks push on in exactly the same manner. The wide players come inside to get on the ball. And it doesn't matter, home or away, small pitch, big pitch, whatever, it doesn't matter.
I have to say, I once asked Stuart Robson, former Arsenal and West Ham captain, what about this home advantage thing. He said, because, he's public school educated, isn't he, Stuart? Well, you can't tell by the look of him, but he is. And he just said, you're an idiot, Danny. There's only one reason. The crowd gets the referee to give you all the decisions at home. And, of course, he's absolutely right about that as well. Listen, I've had my fun talking about goalkeepers doing Cruyff turns. I don't think that's the worst performance of the week. And Mark, you're very erudite, but I really am struggling to see past that Newcastle United performance because when it goes badly, they got an own goal. It's like playing terrible performance bingo. They got a red card unnecessarily. They got an own goal. They had a goalkeeping error on the near post.
It's like a Jonathan Woodgate debut.
And except for the huge... they still have huge pay packets. Of course they do. And then I also love the fact that they conceded the same goal 3 times, where the right back, is he called Clark? He's got one of those names. Does not close down the crosser, mostly Albrighton when he came on, and leaving the left back to not mark his man for 3 of the goals. Unbelievable.
It's like a Derby County team bonding night, isn't it?
This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. An assassination on Derby County. We'll not have it.
However bad Newcastle are at the moment, they're not as bad as that Derby team that went down with all hands. How long ago was it? 10 years ago? 12 points?
It didn't happen. It was a nightmare I had.
No, I was doing on BT Television. I was doing the January transfer window one evening, and nothing was happening. So I thought, I'll get stuck in here. Blah blah blah. You can't improve teams in January. It doesn't really work out. I mean, look at that Derby team. They were absolutely shocking. They went down with all hands. This is a couple of years ago. Whatever they did in January, they got even worse, and they really were a disgrace to the Premier League. Voice to my right. they bought me during that transfer window. Robbie Savage, how are you, mate? I just had to keep going then because there's no turning back, is there?
Danny, I've got four players on my under-18s team that play for Derby, so I'm not going to slag Derby off anymore. They won't release them for me.
So I'm going to tell you, Newcastle United have won worst performance, and on the way they played today, that's all they'll be winning in the near future.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
The Record Book.
Clark, through the centre, played in, a long ball over the top, and Clark steered it over the crossbar. And Sheffield United miss another golden chance, and Leon Clark, on his Premier League debut, almost got on the end of an Ender Stevens ball.
Canos, his centre, in it comes, Watkins for the hat-trick! It's in! He's done it! 3-1 Brentford! And Barnsley can't say it wasn't coming.
I know he's going to be a top player, but this season, if we focus right in on the here and now, he needs to be the goal-getter for Brentford. Because we still see today, Russ, how some of them aren't clinical enough. And they should have won that game by 5-6.
Now, if the worst performance of the week was full of terrible reprobates, I'm delighted to say some wonderful things in the hero of the week. And none of them are really the kind of... We're not got any world sort of famous players or anything in this. Mark, I really want you to start this so that you get a chance to not be booed after 5 seconds. what do you think was... Who's your hero of the week?
My hero of the week is a little bit off-piste, I'd say. It is actually a man called Aaron Jackson, who is a football referee. And he was refereeing the game between Yeovil Town and Bromley
right. In
the National Football League this week. And he made the decision on 84 minutes to send off one of the ball boys who had been taking too long to return the ball to the field of play. And therefore, the referee thought, what can I do here? Oh, I'll send off a minor.
You're right. He is a hero, isn't he?
Yeah, but then let's not stop there because he actually went on then 5 minutes later to send off the entirety of the ball boy staff. That's eight players. Well, eight children been sent away.
Yeah.
And then with a minute of the game left, we had the farcical situation where the ball was booted away from the pitch. No ball boys left to get it. So the ref had to go and get it himself, which added extra time to already a lot of
injury
time. What
is the name of this colossus?
Of the referee?
Yeah.
Aaron Jackson.
Aaron Jackson. I like the sound of Aaron.
I'm a huge fan of this man.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
he didn't take any nonsense, Danny, and I respect that. These little tykes these days, it's all back-chatting, it's all Snapchat.
Oh, yeah.
Get them out of my sight.
I mean, Andy knows, of course, that every club, to a lesser or greater extent, does this. George Graham, when he was in charge of Tottenham, used to tell the ball boys to slow down the away team, not let them take quick throw-ins, even with the so-called multi-ball system. We know that Stoke City were the ball boys with the towels. When what's his name?
Rory, used to take Rory Delap.
When Rory, a teammate of yours, of course, when the Republic used to hurl them. And, you know, so they've always been used. And it's about time referees took action against these 9-year-old criminals.
Yeah, they are criminals, Danny. They are criminals.
My favourite was the multi ball system when somebody goes over and, say, a team are winning, the other team run over and try and do it quick, and the other ball boy throws a ball onto the pitch. It's another way, so you're not actually holding on to it, so you can't get it.
Where are they learning this? Have they got their own academy somewhere?
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Yeah, it's called the Andy Reid Academy for ball boys.
And yet, all ball boys seem to know, whether they're being told or not, they all seem to know these delaying tactics for the away team.
Their game management is better than some professional footballers.
Indeed they are. So that's our first one. I'll let Andy go next because this is a lovely story.
Well, yeah, I think so, and it's somebody that I've played against throughout the years. Leon Clark made his debut, his Premier League debut, for Sheffield United yesterday. Absolutely fantastic story. 34 years of age.
Wow.
He's played in all of the divisions, and he's been a good servant wherever he's been. Probably hasn't hit, want to say, the heights. He had all the attributes to be a really, really good player.
But he's had a decent career as a footballer.
No, he has. He's had a good career. He has. He's had a really good career. And to finally make his debut for Sheffield United, I think it's absolutely fantastic.
In a world where we're always looking, I mean, led by the England manager Gareth Southgate towards youth, if you told me that a 35-year-old goalkeeper had made their debut, you know, they picked somebody up that had an injury crisis and he's had to play between the sticks, I'd have believed you. But for an outfield player to be making their Premier League debut at 34, I say, God bless him, actually. I mean, because, you know, he's had a decent career, but now he'd be able to tell his children that he's played in all four of these divisions, like Jamie Vardy, not quite as sharp as Jamie. I'm still remembering the Leicester City managers who thought last year it was a good idea to leave Jamie Vardy out of the team. What on earth are they thinking? But Leon Clark will be proud of himself today, won't he?
Yeah, well, listen, football, we know football at times and footballers get a lot of bad press, so I think it's lovely when a nice story comes out. Isn't it good to just talk about something really, really nice?
You mean the ball
football?
Boys?
It's not really what we do on this podcast, but I hear
just
you.
Just for once, we make a change, an exception just because I'm in for the day, Dan.
Okay, well, I've also got a good story, I think, for... This is going to be very close this week for our hero of the week. I was watching, because I will watch football till my eyes bleed, I was watching Sky's presentation of the Championship match on Sunday between Barnsley and Brentford. Now, it was a difficult game to build up. It was tipping down at Oakwell, absolutely monsoon conditions. Then I checked the stats before the start. Barnsley are the worst goal-scoring team in that division. Oh, here's Brentford. They're the second worst. So they've got the two 0-0 specialists.
Super Sunday.
In a monsoon in Super Sunday. And I thought, Danny, you really are a glutton for punishment. You really do like football, don't you? And I watched the game, and out of it came a fantastic story. Ollie Watkins of Brentford, who's normally a wide player, has been pressed into service as a centre-forward because they're short of players. Very interesting game. Barnsley only play under 23-year-old players now. That's their policy. And Brentford, with their weird sports science thing, also had a very, very young team. And they slogged out a largely unremarkable match in, as I say, teeming stair rods of rain. And Ollie Watkins, not only did he get a hat-trick to win the game 3-1, this after Barnsley had scored a worldie in the first 30 seconds. The centre-forward for Brentford, three headers. Now, a headed goal is going out of fashion because, of course, nobody will cross the blinking ball, although, as I think Newcastle saw today, it can be quite effective to cross the ball. But certainly not a head height, and he blatted them in. I'm trying to think of... They were like headed goals that Alan Shearer would have got back in the day. And if we go back even further to when you were growing up, Frank Stapleton, he was just... Anything arriving on his head was going in the net. And he was very, very modest afterwards and said, not really sure I'm made for this position, to be honest with you. This hold-up play and all the rest of it. I don't know. If you can get the ball over the line with your head, that would be OK.
Proper footballer, that. Teeming rain, headed goals.
Yeah, a proper
I
game
like
too. And the Barnsley faithful, bless them, the people at the game, all huddled at the top of the stands, but at least there was some cover from the proper rain. Amazing array of heroes this week. Ollie Watkins for his hat-trick, the referee sending off the ball boys, and Leon Clark, 34-year-old Premier League debutant. I'm very sad that we have to make any decision here. I'll start with you. You sticking with Leon?
Yeah, I think I owe it to him to stick with him. And yeah, so I am. I'm going to stick with him.
I'm going to go with him as well, actually. I think that's a nice story. It's a heartwarming, uplifting story.
But well done, Ollie, as well.
Yes. And the referee who booted all the ball boys off. Okay, Leon Clark is our hero of the week.
The Record Book.
Newcastle are down to 10 men. It's a challenge from Isaac Hayden on Dennis Pratt. He won the ball, but his follow-through straight into the leg of the Belgian midfielder. Hayden doesn't want to leave the pitch. He's shrugging his shoulders.
I've got no complaints. It's a poor challenge. It's a poor challenge.
Cleared away as far as Iwobi, who tries to fire the shot in. It's Coleman with the effort, and Coleman is equalised. Manchester City were all over the place there, and it's Seamus Coleman with a real shock to the system. For the league leaders, Manchester City are appealing for offside, and Michael Oliver may have a look at this, or certainly somebody will on his behalf.
Yeah, I actually believe the ball may have been over the line before the header was made. I hope it was, because I've had a goal taken off me like this by Micah Richards. We spoke about it recently, where the ball was going in and he finished it off.
And after that really cockle-warming edition of Hero of the Week, it's time for Villain of the Week. I'll start. Oh,
sorry, what are cockles?
The cockles, are they ventricles?
I don't know. I've no
See,
idea.
You started up with the medical questions.
You said it. You said cockles.
I did. Well, I think it is an established English phrase, is it not?
Yes, but I'd like to know what the etymology
okay,
of the
I'm looking
phrase
at our producer who's got out his... Is that rose pink, that phone of yours? Here we go. No, that a cockle. A cockle, I understand what it is in the way of seafood, but how does it relate to the human heart? That's your homework, Mr. Producer, for the next 2 or 3 minutes. After the ventricle warming Hero of the Week section, we're on to those people or things who have really got up our nose, our Villain of the Week. Andy, quite a serious one. I'll start with you. Once again, this extraordinary game, for instance, between Leicester and Newcastle United.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to be being an ex-Sunderland player, the one to pick on Newcastle all the time. But for me, I don't see how it can be anyone else other than Isaac Hayden. His tackle was absolutely horrendous.
Shocker.
His team were one down. They were on the back foot as it was. He's let his team down. He's let the manager down. The manager, the last thing he needs at the moment, the pressure he's under, is somebody doing something like that. And the lads have to play another hour. Down to 10 men.
The pros, I rarely, rarely pay much attention to ex-professional footballers. I think I know more about the game than most of them, except for that one thing. When tackles go in, I'm not certain whether it's a leg breaker or an accident. You clearly thought it was a shocker.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was
Did you give
really
him any leeway for the pitch to be slipping?
Do you think he's tried to do him?
Yes, and the reason that I do think he's tried to do him is because he's played the ball, and then he's followed through afterwards. Now, I'm not trying to say that he's meant to break his leg, or I'm not saying that. But when I say trying to do him, I think he's tried to leave a bit on him there. Because he's followed through with the tackle.
But if his leg had stayed in the ground, it would have broken, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
he was very lucky.
And it's good that the manager came out afterwards and didn't try to defend it in any way, because when he was going off, he was complaining that he shouldn't have been sent off. Now, he'll know because, you know, being on the pitch, and I've been on the end of bad tackles. I've been around, and there's a sound and there's a feel around a tackle.
The pros know that. You can always tell.
And you know, this is
bad. None of the Newcastle players surrounded the referee. That was all I needed to know. And you're right. As he went off, Hayden was asking for a VAR review. If they had reviewed it, he'd got two red cards and be banned for 6 games.
10-game ban, yeah.
I mean, look, no one wants to see that. Incidentally, now, here we are. Update from the medical world.
Wonderful.
The cockles of your heart are indeed the ventricles of your heart.
Okay.
Because in Latin, the ventricles are the cock-like cordis. And it is because, fantastically, they are the same shape as the a crustacean, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're about all sorted out on the only podcast you'll need for all of your seafood and football needs.
Always learning on this show.
You've my villain of the week is a bit childish, because I mean, do people still talk about football kits? So many of them are so horrendous, so unnecessary. You know, why do Spurs end up wearing a purple kit? It's so near to navy blue. You might as well stick to the navy blue kit. But Manchester City's kit that they currently are sporting as their reserve kit. I mean, it's too much of a cliche. It's too trite. It's too generic to say it looks like one of those rocket lollies that you see kids and me eating. it's too much like a tequila sunrise. I'm looking to the youth here. What on earth is Manchester City's kit that colour for, or colours for?
It is. You're trying to stick out, aren't you? You're peacocking. You're in a nightclub. You've got some sort of garish shirt on to attract a mate. That's what it is. Man City can do it normally because, you know, they win most of their games. They win most of their games comfortably, and therefore it doesn't look as stupid as it would do if it was Huddersfield wearing that shirt. Doesn't mean I like the shirt. I think it's an insane choice of kit.
Now, I'm going to be very rude to my guest, Dan. I wish I wasn't, but I'm glad I've got Andy Reid in front of me because I've never met the fella before. And I have to tell you, Andy, when you made your debut for Spurs, now I've to be very careful because I'm a man throwing stones in a greenhouse here. You are not the traditional shape for a footballer. Brilliant footballer, but you're not built like a long-distance runner. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
At the time you were playing for Tottenham...
Be careful.
I don't want to be rude to you. At the time, let's just say you were perhaps a little bit more upholstered than some of the players of your generation. And Spurs were wearing a Kappa kit that looked like it had to be sprayed on, yeah? And we were wondering, my mates, there's about 15 of us who go to Spurs together. Actually, let's go now because we can't afford the tickets to the new stadium. and we said, what the hell is Andy Reid going to do? Because we'd seen you playing for Nottingham Forest. And we thought, this is a very tight kit for a chap who is not Mo Farah. Shall we put it no stronger than that? And you ran out and the shirt was... Everyone else had the absolutely skin-tight shirt. And yours was flowing away quite happily off you. We decided, Andy, and you can tell me this is... shut up for a start. That you must have got it in the club shop where the shirts are designed for people like me.
Shut up. I remember going down and looking at the kit and thinking to myself, I'm not too sure this kit's going to suit me.
Yeah.
But you can't turn around and say, listen, I'm not going to sign for Tottenham because the kit might not suit me. It was all right.
Why did you only play 1 year for Spurs? Because you were terrific.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
Frank Arneson, when he was there, was the person who signed me, really, and Martin
Yall. Pretty good judge of a footballer.
And Martin Yall at the time was a head coach, and Frank gave him the players to play. Now, after a while, probably about 6 months of me being there, Frank left, and the club went in a little bit of a different direction. Instead of bringing in kind of younger kind of players, they started, Edgar Davids came in and played left side of midfield, you know, in the summer after I had signed, and... So there was things like that where they were starting to bring in people on a hell of a lot of money from the continent, and at the time I just wanted to play.
Yeah.
So
how old were you at this point?
I was 22, nearly 23. I just wanted to play football. I wasn't in any mood for kind of hanging around and sitting around and going on a bench and playing in reserve football. It wasn't really for me.
Spurs is lost in the long run. Because you came, of course, in a double deal with Michael Dawson. I thought the two of you, Dawson went on to play for 10 years there, and I thought maybe the two of you could have done exactly the same thing, which has got me off talking too much about Manchester City's kit. Mm. It's ludicrous, but then so many football kits are. Who is your villain of the week, Mark?
I've gone for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Everton striker. During the game at the weekend, Seamus Coleman's gone down the right-hand side of the box.
Andy and I are pricking up now.
Absolutely.
Republic's captain, come on, what's happening here?
And he's lifted the ball over the keeper. It's absolutely, obviously going in to the
back of
the net.
Would it be his first goal since his very serious injury nearly ended his career? I think so.
Well, but this is why it's so important to him. This is why he's so angry when what happens next happens. Because he's lifted it over the keeper. It's going into the middle of the goal. There's no danger of it going wide or over or not crossing the line. And Calvert-Lewin, being the goal-hungry, selfish, horrible striker that he is, gets his head on it from about 3 inches out.
He had to dive full length to get any kind of contact, didn't he?
He did. But here's the even more impressive thing, really, because Seamus Coleman is understandably quite angry at this, and it looks like he's given him a bit of a dressing down. But I think it's mainly because he thinks that goal will be disallowed because he thinks Calvert-Lewin is actually on an offside position. And had he been,
that would have been
chalked off. It would have been a disaster.
That's the thing about it. I don't mind. If that had been me and my striker put it in, I think I don't mind. Strikers,
they
want goals. They're hungry for goals. That's what, you know, that's what they do. So I'd have no problem. If it was given for offside...
I mean, obviously you know Seamus, and being in and around the Irish setup yourself, it actually is one of the great stories of the last sort of 6 months, because his injury was so bad and he was out for so long, I thought we'd never see him play anything like again, because, of course, he has been a brilliant, brilliant fullback. Now, Everton's team are all kinds of no good in different ways, but Seamus is playing really well again.
You know what? He's got a phenomenal attitude. He's a great guy. He's one of the most down-to-earth guys that you could ever meet, and when he got injured, everybody was, you know, I can't believe it's happened to him. Like, he's nobody deserves that, don't get me wrong, but if anybody
really doesn't,
you know, he's a great guy, and it's been a hell of a long road back as well, you know, a hell of, and to the point where you're thinking, right, is this ever going to happen for me again? Am I going to get back to where I'm at? And, you know, he needed a bit of time when he came back, and when he came back, understandably, his form wasn't as what it is going to be, but that's what's going to happen. And I just feel that he's just finding that form. He's been in great form for the Republic.
He looked great against Man City, I thought.
Yeah, and he started. I just feel he's starting to get back to the Seamus Coleman that we seen before he got injured.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you for that. We'll add a side about our villain in just a second. I, of course, am now time-travelling back to the hero section. I love a much-travelled footballer. I love that. I've not got all Leon Clark's clubs here, but let me just read out the ones since 2004. So the last 15 years, remember, he makes his Premier League debut age 34 this weekend, having played previously for Kidderminster Harriers, Queen's Park Rangers, Plymouth Argyle, Sheffield Wednesday, Oldham Athletic, Southend United, Queen's Park Rangers again, Preston North End, Swindon Town, Chesterfield, Charlton, Crawley, Scunthorpe, Coventry, Wolverhampton Wanderers, and on and on and on. Fantastic. Well done. Villain of the week, Isaac Hayden, Manchester City's kit, Dominic Calvert-Lewin for denying the wonderful Seamus Coleman his goal. I'll leave it to you, Mark.
I'm 100% sticking with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. 100%. And you guys, as proud Irishmen, should also be doing the same thing.
Well, I think it would be... Isaac Hayden's thing was so ridiculous. And I do think that Calvert-Lewin should be forced to give at least 2 weeks' wages to Seamus Coleman. So I know you're not going to disagree. Andy, for robbing Seamus Coleman of his comeback goal, he may have got another one, but I don't worry about the details. That's the flotsam and jetsam of history. I'm interested in the flow of the thing. Our villain of the week is Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And that's that for this week. I want to thank you all for listening to us and joining in and downloading all the things you've got to do. But just as importantly, I want to thank our guests, the comedian, Derby County fan, and advocate of safe driving, Mark Smith, who's been, and we're all serious about that. It's easy to go on and on about the Derby players. Remember, of course, somebody could have got badly hurt. Well, somebody was badly hurt there, but it could have been somebody absolutely innocent of the whole thing. Mark Smith, thank you for coming in again.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
I suspect we'll be having you again after that performance.
Fingers crossed.
And making his debut on the show, and very enjoyable it was too, and allowing me to meet a footballer I've always admired. Delighted with the contribution of Andy Reid. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're really, really welcome. Good luck with the rest of your coaching badge you're doing, and good luck, of course, with the kids of the Republic of Ireland. And hopefully we'll see you coaching and managing in the wider sphere when you won't have time to do nonsense like this. Thank you all for listening once again to Game Day, the record book.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.